Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Truth to Power Show, and my name is Beverly D. And tonight we have Sister Seta Aset, and she has a series of books called The Chemistry, and she is doing an auto book with us, and she's on the book that's called War. Let me bring Sister Seta up. Seta, are you there? Greetings. Can you hear me? Is your mute on?
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you.
Great. I'm doing good, better than I was last Thursday, but I'm okay today.
What happened last Thursday? You had a cold or something?
Actually, I had a visit to the dentist last Thursday. Can you imagine?
That's all you have to say.
Yes, so I'm good today.
Excellent. Now, for the people that really is not familiar with Sister Seta Aset, can you kind of tell them who you are and about your books before we get into it?
Well, yes, Miss Beverly, and my whole entire name is Seta Ama Aset Amun Aliel, and that is by law. I actually changed my name. You know, a lot of people on Facebook, you know, they have all these different names, and you know, And so, you know, they don't actually use their real names because I guess they want to be part of the enlightened ones that know. But if you're going to go all the way with something, go all the way. So, yes, ma'am, I still have part of my name that my mother gave me. I didn't entirely get rid of the whole thing because of the ties with my mother, okay, the matriarch.
Okay.
But I did go all the way and get my name changed to that name, shortened for Seth. I am a fiction, nonfiction, science fiction writer. I have 5 novels out there, and I call them the Chemistry Trilogies. It first started out 3, and so I'm now ending up with 7. So, but they still are the trilogy. And it's The Bright Light, Gathering of the Vanguard, The War, which we in now, 9X, and In the Realm of the Gods. And right now I am doing Area 51, and I'm also working on Cosmic Legacy, which takes us all the way back. You know, I have some pretty good mentors on my side that I'm still in contact with, even though they're in another realm. You know, I still feel that I have a contact with Dr. Delbert Blair, and I know that, you know, Bobby Hemmett is not an ancestor yet. He's still with us, but even though he's not doing anything, I still have contact with him, and he was one of my people that I really love to hear and listen to the things he say.
Right.
Also, Phil Valentine, he's another, and there are others that is in the circle that I travel with, That's who I am. So
okay,
there you have it.
All right. Now, kind of bring us up to speed as where we left off at, and you are in the book War. So kind of give us where we left off at and what's going on.
Well, we left off at, let me pull it up. We left off at Shit Just Got Real, part 61, okay? What was going on with that is, you know, the war really has begun. You know, they're into it now. And they were in contact with an android. And they met her at, I think it was in Virginia. And she had some very important information that the president, who just all of a sudden keeled over. And don't think that I haven't been listening to all your shows, Sister Bev, because I do listen to them. And I do hear some of the things that some of your guests have been saying. And I just thought about it's something that was said, I think, Tuesday night, that some guy just keeled over. And so that brought me back to the president, in the war that we just got through speaking about Thursday, but the Thursday before that, where he just pulled over.
Okay.
That was President Nigel Foster. You remember that one?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. He began to cough violently, and then he just collapsed on the podium floor where he was giving a speech. And so that brought me back to that. And and I'm like, wow, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, this has been written before. But anyway, that's where we left off.
That goes a lot with your books. That's why I keep saying I see a lot of correlation that's going on there. And you wrote your book quite a few, you know, years ago, 6, 7 years ago? And it's just seems like a lot of things that's going on now is, you know, I see it in your writing.
It's weird. I'm like, whoa, you know, this guy just, what, you know. And I think Robert Eaton delivered that message. But I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So I just sit back and continue to listen. Right now we're on part. No, we're not. We're on part, not 62. We did that Thursday. Let me pull where we at now. I think we're on, we're past that one. Keep going. We're on part 60. Exactly. Okay. So part 60, the title of that one is it a boy or is it a girl? That's what we're getting ready to read now. So is there anything else or?
No,
you want to go ahead?
Just,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Part 60. Is it a boy or a girl? In the north of Amexum, the former first lady, Mrs. Foster, and you know her name was Lilith Foster, was rushed to the ER. There in the waiting area was a Catholic chaplain, the Secretary of State, and the Secretary of Defense. They were there to greet the little babe into the world before whisking it away from the mother's arms and into Europe. Now, we know Lilith Foster was pregnant with the president's baby. You know, she was pregnant when they went over to Africa. Okay. Lilith had no problem releasing the child to them. Knowing her life was spared was enough payment. Besides, the baby would provide a lifetime of comfortable living for her and the older children. Unbeknownst to Nigel, he presumed he was the partner in crime that had a chokehold on the people. But what he didn't know was she participated in their rituals ever since she was indoctrinated at 2 years old. Lilith was mated with a pure draconian male, but was groomed to be with Nigel, and therefore she was the soldier for his enemies. And I don't know, did anybody want me to explain that, or did y'all get that?
No, explain it.
Okay. You know, when he was president, before they took him out, you know, he was in contact with the underworld, you know, the dark world that's running the country. He was in contact with it. But they used him to bring in this entity with his wife, you know, because, you know, he was in love with somebody else. You know, when he got that, when he made that phone call before they took him out and told whoever was on the other end to go get that message from the android that was at that bus station, okay?
Right.
And he was telling her that he was in love with her, but he couldn't be with her because he had to marry Lilith to make it look good in front of the public.
Mm.
You see how they choose for you to who you're supposed to be with in the eyes of the public to make you look good, to make you, to make it seem like, well, you know, to make it look good for the public, in other words. So he couldn't be with just any ragtag person. Oh, wasn't nothing wrong with Lilith. Go ahead, Suspense.
No, that's what I was asking. What was the problem with her? That he couldn't marry her.
Oh, the one that was on the phone?
Yeah, the one on the phone.
Well, she wasn't scholarly. You know,
okay.
She wasn't groomed to be, you know,
the first.
A boule or whatever, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, one of those.
That's who he really loved.
Right. He loved just an ordinary woman, you know.
Okay.
But Lilith was, you know, boule. She was up there, you know, da 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 da. You know, she's got all of this and that, you know, these proper Negroes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she was one of them. So
okay.
he had to marry her, not knowing that all the while she was indoctrinated in all this stuff when she was 2 years old. So she had been doing the bidding. No,
not
the one
Lillian.
That he didn't love.
Oh, Lillian.
No, Lilith.
Lilith, okay.
Yeah, the
she's
wife of
the
devil. Yeah.
Okay, all right, okay.
Yeah, she was the one who he was mated with. I mean, him being president, the leader of the free world, they mated him with the wife of, you know, with the woman of for the devil, you know.
Okay, all right.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah.
I got it.
So, you know, she was pregnant, but she wasn't pregnant by Nigel. She was pregnant by a draconian. So whatever this baby is that she gave birth to, she handed it over to a Catholic chaplain. She gave it over to a Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense. So apparently, whatever this thing was that she gave birth to might do some damage in the world.
Sound like now, Rosemary Baby.
Yeah. You might say, I guess you could say that. I guess you could, but, you know, we'll find out as we go on through here. Okay. Okay, here we go. The boy was named Abigail Linnell Foster, the slaver, and he remained with the Romanilia until he grew of age. Miraculously, he grew 5 years for every 6 months of his life. So every 6 months, he was aging 5 years. This presently made him 30 years old. Now that he had come into the circle of the evil realm, he was the last piece of the vicious parasitic nature of the beast. He was joined in hand with Baba Iya. She is the entity that loves to drink the life force out of the people. Sharibra Obi hates the human being. She will do whatever it takes to destroy those who come before her. Namajai is the one who tricks and poisons all to believe in the false teaching of men. And last, there was Geryon Derber, the boy who attacks unexpectedly to infect the people with deadly diseases with unscrupulous hatred. Now, all these entities had joined together to destroy the people. And if you heard the descriptions of them real good, you would kind of think like, this is happening today. But it's entities.
I know.
It's vibrations that we're all feeling right now. Okay. Now that these evil soldiers who possessed additional untold power, along with the obvious, were in league with the Pontocleve of the Draconian from the planet Warsapia, the CC, which is the Crown Cross, the Romanilia, and the GB, and the Jawwalks. They were ready to go to war on the planet. 9 months later, after the emergency broadcast and curfews all around the world were initiated, and you know they did that after they killed the president. So, you know, it ain't going to be no more presidents. The people began to tire of what was deemed the mass domination of liberty. No one can do anything, participate in anything, nor live life as they had before. The only connection to the world, the only connection the world had with each other was subliminal newscasts and entertainment in the form of dark entities warning the people with an underlying message that they would be subjected to persecution if they went against the establishment. This sparked a global movement of retaliation and no fear against anyone affiliated with any government anywhere on the globe. Once the people began the onslaught to burn down and demolish the many office buildings held by these people, the Jawwalks and the androids were unleashed on them and caused hell on Earth. Calamity, so they actually put robots on people. Calamity and dissension was overrunning the planet. Mass murder was rampant in all parts of the globe. No one outside the protection of the barrier was spared. And you know about the barrier. You know the eye watchers put the barriers up to protect some of the people. Okay, here we go. In her heart, Femi was saddened that the part of evil man played with the devil has created such a world no one wanted to exist in. There were so many people of different races begging and pleading to enter the barrier, but were turned down simply because of their ignorance in believing that the governments of the world would take good care of them. Although she was hurt by what she witnessed, she was devout in keeping the few across the world untainted by what was unleashed on the others. This was a world they chose. This was the world they received. In other words, you know, If you're not waking up, this is the world you chose. That's what you're going to get. At one point, the people seemed to gain a hand up on the power that was holding them in chains, but it was quickly repelled by the one called Namajai. A portion of the majority began to believe in their leaders that held them hostage. And once again, with just a flick of their remote controls, a happy song began to play all over the world. Some took to it, most did not. In it was an embedded message that translated into a controlled behavioral state. This gave the weak permission to check those who disobeyed the laws and justifiably eliminate any who defied the government. When the majority of the people refused to conform to the rules, the Pontocleve of Draconia overruled the judgment of the human and ordered the five terrors to descend on the lands. In their ships, he ordered the Draconian fleet to arise above the waters off the Pacific Ocean, where they had been preparing to take over the planet for many years. Despite the Quan, the heat was not much of a factor for them because they had the ability to breathe underwater for long periods of time and emerge when necessary. Once they arose from the tainted waters off the coast, they began to unleash huge amounts of their electrical blasting rays down through the atmosphere, rendering those who stood underneath it frozen. Once a mass of people were controlled in this manner, they were collected and sent to various animal warehousing plants in the outer country from the cities to be processed as food for those in power and the Draconian armies. This was so horrible that a small band of renegades who was fighting against the corrupt and the immoral system witnessed such a loathsome act that they could not believe their leaders were showing their true nature under the guise of human beings. A few of them actually had proof and threatened to go to the press and reveal what happened to their loved ones. But who really cared for a few who fought knowing the consequences when the world has seen firsthand aerial maneuvers of actual real-to-life spacecraft flying above the canopy of heaven? Now that the Dracons and the CC had the people's attention of the power they commanded, they once again were capable of controlling them. The renegades were profoundly terrified that they would be in line next and selected randomly to be fodder for breakfast. So the rebellion had ceased before it really began. They were no match for the Dracons, much less the five terrors that walked the earth. No one knew what kind of power they possessed. Femi sat alone for 9 days, no water, no food. She meditated on what was the retaliation answer by the Dracons. Their policy was to kill everything in sight. Nothing needed to survive their wrath towards any life of humanity. She knew they desired all things dead. The toll from the aftermath of slaughtering so many people ran into the millions, and Femi felt it in her soul each and every outcry of those persons. Her goal was to shut down any deals the wicked partook with the evil that disguised themselves as cooperation against the people. It was working in favor of the people until they began to complain about how the earth was heating up and getting too hot for them to slave out. The minions, as well as the Drays, knew who had the power to do this, and the world over knew who verbally said so over the airwaves. One thing for sure, in order for the evil to continue, Femi definitively must be eliminated. After her solitude, she expressed to Zuri that the Creator's desired to have peace among men, and that there was no place for those who were not natural in nature to walk among those who were. This was the only way peace could be found at the moment until another solution could be decided upon. So she contacted the Eye Watchers closest to the city of New York to accompany her to address the world at the United Nations. There she would deliver the message, the messages she received. She knew that she would be on their radar. She knew she was target number one. She was on the list of the most wanted. No one in the entire history of the world was more wanted than she. Not even those who supposedly been on the FBI's most wanted list. She and Zuri were held to a higher esteem of crime, according to the ones who ran the earth. To even go as far as wanting these two young people in their vast reaches of the universe. Leo, in his own humble way, gained communication to the UN to introduce Femi's presence when she arrived. This was to give them time to deal with whatever they had to do to keep the peace in the city. People of the world asked, why were they such a threat to those who were a threat to humanity? Because there was no way these two heroic people was going to allow them to be wiped out and off the face of the earth, humanity, that is. Approaching the 505-foot-tall building, they observed much military movement surrounding them. With guns and other weapons drawn toward them, Femi peacefully assured the Eye Watchers not to make a move until she was ready to give them the signal. As they made their way inside, they were trailed by, if not more, military personnel inside the hall, stood all around the wall, waiting. When she entered the General Assembly, she was surrounded by 100 Eye Watchers, with Zuri on her left side and Africa on the other. They stood tall and vivaciously waiting to do battle with anyone looking to bring harm against their icon. In other words, the men was protecting the woman. As all the men and women gathered to their prospective seating areas, the trio and the guards continued down toward the three-seated area facing the UN members. The Eye Watchers gathered behind Femi, Zuri, and Africa. Much movement and superficial conversation was being uttered when they sat down. At one point, Zuri felt as if the members were planning an assassination of the three who sat in those chairs before them. Many were armed who represented the Middle East and Europe. But as he read their minds, most of them wanted to hear what they came to say before attempting to carry out the plan. Femi knew this all along as she readied her fully charged scepter. Okay, Sister Bev, that was part 60.
Okay, now, a lot of things in there, you know. So what were they saying, that the aliens was walking around among the humans, looking like they were humans and acting human?
Actually, yeah, they were walking around looking and acting human, but they were taking humans out. You know, they
right.
really assaulted them and gathered them up and took them to be food. Like, it's, you know,
and
we don't know what's happening. That was a lot of – go ahead, Sophia.
And that's what we were talking about, Dr. X was saying about, you know, how he was saying, look at the shift in them with their big eyes, how they look like they're not human.
Yeah, yeah. And to think, you know, we got a lot of people missing in the day. They just seem like they just disappearing. You know, where are they going? Where are they at?
You know.
So, but, you know, you'll learn a little bit more in Area 51 on that, too. But go ahead.
Okay. And then it sounds like, you know, the things they were saying was socialism, you know, some of the things that they want to do. It seemed like that they were using hypnosis with the tones and the subliminal messages. And all of this just seems like that it's all going on right today.
It is.
You know, and so-called
it's going
real
on.
Life. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So you thought your spirit was giving it to you. And you wrote this book in what year was it?
In 2010, 11, 12.
Okay. All righty. Okay. So
and they were published in 2011 and 12. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So we know that they're at the UN. They went to the UN because of all of this killing these humans and they missing and everything. And Femi's like, I got to go and talk to these people. It seemed like the UN is supposed to be where, you know, everything's supposed to be going down in the world. So this is where they're at right now. Okay, so here we go. Part 59, Gigam Husana Dudger. And that's Latin. And I have to look it up because I don't remember what it means. But it means something. I know it too. But I got to go back and look it up. Gigam Husana Dudger. Once the chatter was reduced to a minimum, all was quiet and still. Even though Femi held the command of every listening ear and attention from every seeing eye in the hall, there was an air of wickedness that played into the outcome of this gathering. I will be brief, so therefore I will not answer any questions. It is up to you whether you hear me or not. I am not here to give you any commands, nor am I here to give you any alternatives. I am here to leave you with a message. This message was given to me by my creators who created all that you see. It is said that if what is happening now to the innocent, and this includes the senseless killings of all things globally, and that if the earth continues to be abused, if the air reeks with the violation of chemicals, and all things continue with malice and ill will at heart, then I will be instructed to intervene with the force known like no other. You have 2 weeks to gather your leaders, whoever they may be, and follow this instruction. The sooner you do, the better it will be. I can promise you this, if you have not complied by the first week, I will have the three suns grow hotter and beam their wrath down on you. By the last week ending in your calendar year, of Saturday, June 13th, prepare yourselves. The chatter in the hall grew from a lull to a deafening crescendo when the representative and was going to ask the question. Femi interrupted her, raising the smallest finger, and said, I know what you're going to ask. They are protected, as all of the innocent are. They are cloaked with a barrier over them and are watched by my army you see standing behind me. No harm will come to the innocent who is not part of your systematic homicide of the world's population. Just as Femi began to walk away from the podium, a shot rang out. The representative of Israel fired a 9mm semi-automatic balletic pistol at Femi that was deflected off her body and tore into the representative of Russia. Just then, the entire group was protected by the barrier as they disappeared under the gunfire that led to a 96% in the meeting that day. The responsible party who sacrificed the many representatives of the world was not present, but they gave the orders to assassinate her and anyone else who would be foolish enough to get in their way. The military from every country in the world, the British Talisman and the Jawaks, searched the entire United Nations complex. Workers were told to stay in their respective areas or risk being shot down immediately. After searching in every nook and cranny, the hunt ended 6 hours later. Femi and her army could not be found. The United Nations building was decimated. The people who died that day were sacrificed, and it was a reminder of who had the power at the moment to rule everyone's life. With the blessings of the Crown Cross, the militaries of the world call for a global manhunt for the vanguard. They amassed an army on an ambitiously large scale that none in the history books could compete with. While there was much killing and searching from house to house, business to business, where one could think of, they could not be found. Once they returned back to the parallel, Femi and Zuri began to meditate devoutly to the ancestors and to the universal creators. Although Zuri could not communicate, Femi was told to counteract now before many more innocent lives were sacrificed unnecessarily. She called for 246 of the Eye Watchers to come forth. They were to meet at the Mountains of the Moons to prepare for World War IX. When they returned, the elders knew to give the decision to the young warriors because their knowledge and opinions were never quieted. To learn the mind of the enemy from the elders was always a thankful plus now that they had to do battle with them. Without saying a word, Femi said, "Yes, mother, I must do this if the people are to have any kind of life left. Your father and I trust you will take care of all that is and all that will be. We know we will see you again someday," cried Ayera. "You will, mother, you will," Femi said as she made her way to meet her army. Chinwe walked toward her son, and in her hands she held a deep gold satin cloth with an object wrapped in it. "Son, my love for you has never died. I could still feel you inside of me, and even after I gave you away, I could still feel you in my arms. When I had to give you up, that was the most sickening and the hardest thing I could ever do in my life. Now that I have you back after all these years to leave me once again, I am so disheartened. I know that you have told me not to cry, but you cannot deny a mother's love for her child, no matter what the day is." She contained her tears for a moment and revealed to him a sword. It was the most exquisite and unusual sword Zuri had ever seen. She smiled for a second and said, "This belonged to your father, and it was given to him by his father, who, an old hermit, gifted it to him. It is called the Sword of the Nibu. I have no clues to what it can do, but it is said that if you slide the Ankh you have in your possession down in the top of it, then it will be one of the most powerful weapons in all of the world, aside from Femi's scepter. It's time I give this to you, as you are going into a battle that will tell the tale of a people who came to this planet in peace by way of the creators. Go not in peace, my son, but go in battle. My love and my strength are with you." Zuri said, "Don't cry, because Femi and I and all our soldiers will return to take us all off the planet and back to our home. It will soon be over." It was always noted that the beast loved his toys and his unnatural man-made things. And these things are what Femi decided to go after first and foremost before anyone else was hurt. So to bring reality back to man and his kind, the first target was shutting down all mechanical devices that was powered by fossil fuels that were continually being used, making the air on the planet almost unbearable to breathe. As they made their way over the globe, the army of Nibiru went about shutting down all coal mines, rendering them unusable to dig for coal in various countries on the land, and disabling the oil drilling machines in the ocean. While back at the mountains, the Dogons were communicating with a few eye watchers in the various sectors, defining new ways of solar power with the help of the three suns' strong life force to keep the innocent free from strife and the simple struggle to survive. The forces of Sol gave off a strong glow inside of Femi and Zuri's 780-degree chakra rotation system. Their strength had no limit, and nothing could penetrate the tough inner or outer layers of their satiny, golden, glowing skin. This was a trait all beings of Nibiru carried since they had to adapt to this planet. Next were the satellite communication systems that orbited around the Earth. Zuri and a few eye watchers transported themselves to outer space to disable all satellites belonging to the world's defense department. A few eye watchers sufficiently disassembled the hideous, bulky satellite stood on the ground. This made communications for the warmongers a hard task in carrying out their unscrupulous bloodshed on Earth soil. Once their task was done, the eye watchers and Zuri re-entered Earth's atmosphere. They began to take apart key areas to stop the advancement of the combined armies of Europe from destroying the people. They destroyed the Russian harp named Sura near the small town of Vralushsky, Russia. They went on to the next one in Europe called Isikat near Tromoso in Norway. Next, Harp in Alaska was blown to bits. These were the first three they destroyed. The last 11 of the harps were blasted into pieces in a matter of days. The best thing that Zuri gave a sense of euphoria was the destruction of their Shem apparatus. As the attack from the vanguards continued, Femi felt that she should hurt their pockets. So the people who lived below the parallel were instructed to turn in their fiat money. In return, it was replaced with gold, with thrice the cost. This was the last straw as the hunt for her and her army began to affect the people who were not protected. Mass killings and slaughter blurred the countryside and the cities all around the world in blood. Many of the people went into hiding, and all the unprotected cities became desolate and barren. No movement from the natural or the unnatural was present. Birds didn't fly. Insects seemed to all disappear. The grass grew high in stature. Activity was at a minimum, and movement was done only by the many armies that patrolled the streets worldwide. The Crown Cross was livid when this occurred, and demanded that Femi come forth to address the monumental act that was placed upon their thousands of year old monetary chokehold that they had on the people. She was happy to accommodate this request, so she and Zuri took 50 of their most highly energized eye watchers and traveled to the boot to confront them. And I think the boot is Italy because it looks like a boot. Entering the Vatican City, Femi led her group up to the face of the Romanilia. He stood up from his coronation chair and gazed at her. He thought to himself, "She's no threat to my army. She's just a beautiful weakling against me." He asked her, "So you are the famously brave Femi Knight?" She replied, "If those are your choice of words, then yes, I am. I consider myself a people fighter who is tired of your ill-fated gaze and hatred down through the millennia. You and your kind have had years and years and years of corruption, hate, envy, malicious killings, slaughter, injustices, lies, deceit, and a cowardly self-indulgent existence. The time is up for you to go." "No one orders me to go anywhere," he shouted loudly at her. "My kind have been at the top of this pyramid for over 6,000 years. You think you can come here and change what has been written? If anyone is to go, it will be you, he shouted. We are not here for ourselves alone, for there are many legions of ordinary people who are ready to take you down and challenge you and your army of mindless souls and transhumans till the last man is standing and see victory in their eyes. And I am here to begin the end of your reign forever. Laughing as he was quickly swept away with many of his guards surrounding him, he said, as we speak, my dear Finney, a war at your mountain is already in progress. Okay. Sister Bev, you there?
Yeah. So you had a lot going on in there. You had Israel in there. You had Russia in there. And the satellites, you know, they just shot up a 60-something satellites, a bunch of satellites they just shot up in the sky last week. And
wow. Are you serious? Really?
Yeah, yeah.
They shot them up?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, they put them up in the sky. It was about 60 of them, and it's going to be a bunch more. That was just that round. You can go on the YouTube, and you probably could see when they launched them. They launched them all up. So what is that about, you know? All the satellites, who needs all that? That's some kind of war situation going on. We have a call.
Okay.
336-350.
Oh, Grand Risings. Sister Bev, how are you?
Yeah. Great. How are you?
You know, I'm perplexed. This is Mama AZ Paris calling you from Fort Huachuca, or the last historical site of the Buffalo Soldiers, and I'm just stunned. You didn't say anything. And greetings to the sister who's reading. Is that your book?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am, it is. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, my sister down in Florida, we had a prayer moment, and a few of us got on the line, and I was in prayer, and I'm on a mission here concerning Miracle Valley. And today I had to shut down because I was getting information from the other side. And right after we had prayer and I reached out to my daughter in Georgia, my mom and Reverend Allen, I was in communication, and they said, call and see who's on your show. I am shocked. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, I am shocked because I'm hearing things and I'm not really sure. And then what, I don't know anything about what you're talking about, my sister, but it's a part of a dream and or parts of a dream that I've had. I've been getting communications. So I'm just listening, and I would like to for you to connect with me. Where are you from, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, no problem. I'm from Tennessee. I'm down here from the South. I'm in the South.
Oh, my God.
So, I'm at the 33 degree parallel.
You're over there, Choo Choo. You're over there in what part, Memphis?
No, the 33 degree parallel is down by Birmingham, Atlanta. We're on that line.
Okay,
Dallas,
so that's
Texas.
Where you,
yeah,
that's where you.
That's the parallel
where are
line.
You?
Yeah.
All right. Where
right
are
now
you
I'm in
now?
Birmingham. Right now I'm in Birmingham.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, you know, Sister Bev, if you don't mind, I'd like for you to send the podcast to my phone and also send this one to my phone because I'm going to share it with my people on Facebook, meaning Facebook, okay. But I call it Facebook. And sister, what is your name?
Sada.
Say it again.
Sada.
Sada.
Uh-huh.
How do you spell that?
S-E-T-A.
You're obviously not from this planet.
No,
you're not. Do you know where you hail from?
Yes, I hail from Sirius.
Wow, and I'm from the Pleiades. This is so interesting. Well, I know it must be other people, and please, Sister Bev, I'm not sure. Go ahead.
She's on every Thursday. We hear every Thursday.
What?
She has a series,
I didn't know this.
A book. Yeah, we've been on for about 2 months now, Sister Seta?
About, yes. Mm-hmm. We've already done two whole books. So, yeah, it's been about two and a half months. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Well, I know this is being recorded. My mom and Reverend Asa Allen of Miracle Valley, he had a very major ministry. And that Bible college is a temple, and it's a vortex. I was just in meditation, and I heard them say, "Call in, Sister Bev." I never knew that this sister was on Thursday. I never knew. I'm just shocked. So please take my number, because I just want to be quiet and calm down, because the little sister on your other show, Sister Bev, the Pennsylvania little sister, that little sister ain't no joke. She's connected to people that I connected to since 79, and I'm just totally blown away. And my purpose is to bring ones that know that what planet they come from or not, but they kind of think they do, is to bring people here to Miracle Valley, Arizona, because there is definitely something getting ready to unfold. I'm telling you, and to just me hearing to tune in to the show, just call it and see. And I'd be darned if you weren't on. So it's something getting ready to happen. So I'm going to be quiet and continue to listen. And sister, please call me after the show.
I will. I'll get that information from Sister Bev. And you're right.
Yeah,
you're right on point. It's something that's about to go down here. Something big about to go down on this planet.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And for you to be in Birmingham, because one of my good friends, Johnny Whitlock, he was a blues musician. He made his transition. He was there in Birmingham, and then he moved back to Greensboro, North Carolina. And he's a very, very powerful Sagittarian. And I went to Birmingham on my way back to Arizona to visit him, and it's just gorgeous. The area that he was in. So this tells me something. So call me, and I'll be quiet and just listen. Thank you, Sister Bev. You're on.
I will, sister. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, we have another caller. 404-453. 404.
Hey, peace and blessings, Miss Bev and Sister Santa.
Sister Santa.
Mama AZ.
Peace.
Yeah, yeah.
Peace.
Hey, Ms. Bev, I just want to call in and let the people know what I see, what I was trying to explain to Robert X. Okay, this damn, all this stuff is psyops. This damn fake-ass damn little Chinese coronavirus, that's fake, too. Don't fall for it. And all this stuff going on with Trump and all them. That's why I was trying to tell Robert X, you got to calm down, man. All this shit is a psyop. You see what I'm saying, Ms. Bev?
Right. Right.
That's what I was trying to tell my man Robert X. I don't want him to fall out, you know, getting all upset over all these doggone psyops they throwing at us. So, and that's what I point I wanted to make clear to all the women.
That's what they're doing.
So,
You're right, bro. It's all a game for something else bigger that's getting ready to go down. That's what it is. It's to distract you from them doing what they're getting ready to do, and that ain't gonna be no joke.
Yeah.
Time is up on them Georgia Guidestones. It's been a minute. And I think whoever they sent to get that guy to build those Guidestones wasn't from this planet either, because they never saw who he was, and they don't know where the man come from.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, time is up. Now, we thinking, even though... You know, my novels is fiction, nonfiction. Some of this stuff I got in here, you know, you can Google it and you can find it. But a lot of this stuff in here just came to me through the people that, you know, I used to listen to and I still listen to. And it just come to me like that. But, you know, they had a message, too, for all of us that, you know, like in your state of mind and in the state of mind that I'm in, it's a lot of us like this. You know, don't pay no attention to all that mess that they're doing that they got in front of you, because that all that is obvious. But pay attention to what's going on in the background, you know, that they're not putting out there. That's what you got to, you know, hone your mind to. And so you got to get yourself prepared for it. And that's what this is about. This is what I wrote about, just getting yourself prepared for it. I mean, I'm not saying it's a metaphor what I'm saying. Like your spaceship, but all this is a metaphor for you to go into your own self and get your own self together. That's what that's about. That's what that is. Yeah.
And your body is a spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
Once we realize who we really are, then all of this will start coming to us. Okay, Wes, is that it?
Yes, ma'am. I listen, and I'll be calling tomorrow when my man Chuck must break all this info out. So I appreciate the blessing. I love your format, the way you wrote, Ms. Bell, that we're trying to show these people the truth, the way, and the light.
That's right. It's time.
Thank you for calling. Good to talk to you, bro, Wes. You know, I hear you talking all the time, so it's good to talk to you. It's good to hear from you. Appreciate you calling.
Yes, ma'am, all the time. We all tune in on the same vibe, you know what I mean? Ancestors tell us stuff. Peace and blessings.
Yeah. Peace and blessings.
Peace.
Okay, Sarah. Well, if you want to go further, we can. If you want to stop now, it's going to be up to you. Maybe we need to do another chapter because more people have got on the line now.
Okay, well, we can do that if you want to. We can go on to part 58.
And I just want to say the people that's on the internet, you have to call in to 323-642-1586, and you can continue to hear us on the phone line. So let's do one more before we go.
All right, Sister Bear, here we go. We're going to do part 58 on sacred ground. Part 58 on sacred ground. Femi was not surprised because the joke would be on him. She knew that together they would decimate any army that was pitted against them. But the CC slovenly ran and hid. Her eye watchers began their assault on the androids and the army that was directed to attack her. Femi and Zuri's appearance became as golden as the sun. Their eyes were inflamed with fire as they let loose their electrical spirals in the direction of the massive group of cavalry soldiers that were loyal to the Crown Cross who stood guard at the Vatican. They were incinerated on contact. Femi then raised her scepter and spewed fire on each and every jawwalk she could see and burned them, leaving only a pile of ashes. The vanguard waged a war against the evils of the Crown Cross so swiftly that none of them had time to evade the onslaught that was delivered to them. After the flurry of their destruction was over, she reminded the loyal inhabitants to strive for nothing more than peace. Vatican City was no more. They burned it down. When they were ready to depart from this foul, God-forsaken place that was left in ruin, Femi's name was called out by a voice that emitted the sound so sinister and evil that they all turned around to face what was hell on earth. She was confronted by Babi Iya. When the people saw Babi Iya raise her body up in the air to challenge Femi, they all scattered as quickly as they came to thank her for a war well fought. Femi turned to see what they were fleeing from. She asked, "And what do you want?" "I want you to bow down and surrender yourself to me as a token of appreciation of who really rules this planet. And if I disagree, then your days may be shorter than you think," Babi replied. Femi raised herself in the air and took a defensive position of attack from Babi. She said to Zuri, "You and the Eye Watchers go on to the mountain. I got this." Zuri hesitated and asked, "Are you going to be all right?" "Of course, I'm going to make short work of this. I will join you later." The vanguard stood in position and flew off toward the south. Some flew on their scat nab. The more advanced simply flew. When they were sufficiently out of sight, the battle began. Babi touted Femi with spurts of a green mist that temporarily dimmed her sight, but she recovered as soon as it faded in the wind. When she saw this, Babi became very angry and flew directly into Femi, reaching for her throat with her claws and utilizing the tentacles that fiendishly grew from her back to immobilize her movements. Femi fought hard and struggled to break herself free from the beast's chokehold on her. As soon as she severed one, it grew back in less than a second. Dodging and ducking fatal strikes by her enemy, Femi's only answer to freeing herself was to sever all six tentacles at once. When her chance came to do so, she used her golden glare to blind her, and once she did, Babi dropped to the ground. Femi spun her around and electrified them all, with green slime dripping everywhere in the streets of the Vatican. Babi, fleeing as fast as she could, was captured. Femi, standing over a critically wounded entity from hell, said to her, "Never ever think you can challenge me. I will take down the best of you when it comes to finally having peace on Mother Earth. I will defend the ancestors, the universe, and the planet from you and the likes of you. I'm sending you to a place in the far reaches of the cosmos where you will never be found. You can send me anywhere you want, but I will find you, Femi. Even if it takes me forever, I will see you again. If you see me again, Babi, you better hope that you don't, for I will permanently destroy you." Wrapping Babi in a red glaze of Newtanium, she effortlessly raised her up and flew with her into space. Once he transported her far away enough, she hurled her as far as superiorly possible and eons away from Earth's galaxy, never to be seen again. Speeding down as fast as possible, Femi observed most of her people engaging the enemy outside of the protective barrier. The men and women were readily taking on the mindless androids, the British talisman, and the jawwalks. They were lifting them high in the air with their thoughts, only to forcefully drop them to the ground into a sea of body splatter, without laying a hand on them. The women were turning the weapons belonging to the androids on themselves so they could help advance the vanguard in defeating their enemy. Shouting loudly, Zuri asked, "You take care of that situation?" Short and sweet, she was a hard opponent, but we don't have to deal with her for a while. The countryside was ablaze with gunfire and laser strikes. Electrical blasts and fiery cyclones struck down many of the invaders who set foot on the sacred ground of the ancestors. Her father was in the midst of the firefight with his own brand of reckoning. He was taking them down one by one. He was given a fire weapon by one of the Eye Watchers. Several Jawwalks tried to attack Leo from the rear, but in seeing this, Ayira used her mind to make two of them turn away from him and into Femi's direction. When they marched toward her, she chopped them down with one felt swoop. Leo cut the rest down with no problem at all. "Thank you, daughter. Don't thank me, thank mother. Her mind will get someone killed," she replied jokingly. The fighting continued until a few hundred were forced to abandon the mountains and retreat back toward the city. The vanguard chased them, and the fighting exploded with the people of Bujumbura joining in the assault. That's a city in Africa somewhere. The attack was so swift that the enemy didn't have a chance against them and Femi's army. After a few hours of eliminating them one by one, it was over. The people cheered, and several Eye Watchers were left behind to assist the people in regaining back their city. Information spread all over the continent, and soon Rwanda and Burundi joined in, and so on. The whole of Africa had the CC and its minions on lockdown, and they could not perpetrate their lies onto the 1.69 billion people anymore. After the revolt, the vanguard returned back to the camp to ascertain their damages. On first sight, there looked to be more damage done to nature than anything else. Luckily, no one was hurt this time. The barrier is a lifesaver for our elders and children. Even though they did their part behind it, they managed to keep calm in the midst of a fight, said Abdul. The children have brave little souls, and now is the time to bring their spirits out for these star seeds will have to follow up on what we leave behind for them. They must always be prepared for whatever the evil leave behind as well. They are so mindful that much is learned through the eyes of the ones who desire to know, replied Femi. Months after the first war, cleanup was completed outside the camp. Femi, Zuri, and the vanguard lived in peace with the people they were protecting. The Eye Watchers who kept vigil over all of the people as a whole had nothing but purple reports, which were good reports. One evening in her dreams, Femi awakened, sweating profusely, soaking in the bed she and Zuri shared together. She was glowing. "My love, what is wrong?" he asked. Shaking and sobbing, she cried, "They are dying. Millions are dying, and we can't get to all of them. We tried, but the loss is just too much. This killing and murderous rampage against the people has to stop." She fell into his well-chiseled arms for comfort. Soothing her, he said, "We aren't going to save everyone during this golden age, and I don't think that was the master's plan. Only those who are destined to go home will go. And those who will be here will have a new outlook on everything once we've sanitized and rid the planet of the evilest of disagreeable. They will get a chance to start once again. Get some rest, my love. I know as well as you that this isn't in no way over yet." A few weeks later, word got back to the vanguard that major wars had broken out all over the world in key areas. Those areas were Africa, Turkey, Russia, Sweden, Indonesia, Canada, and Poverty Point, Louisiana. Key places with the most deviation were Texas, Buenos Aires, Cape Town, Old Ancient Babylon, Damascus, and Los Angeles. Disturbing news of hundreds of thousands of people were under attack and dying by the minute. They were unprotected. Femi knew this was the dream she had several weeks ago. Even though these people were the ones who sided with the political system, she couldn't stand by and watch them die. When the Vanguard was preparing to leave again, Femi left her father and the Dogon in charge of the people and instructed them to not venture outside until further word was telepathically relayed. If they came under attack, they had the power to dispose of their foes by means of thought. No physical confrontation was needed, for the barrier was impenetrable. Femi began to receive messages from each eye watcher, who was the primary guardians of their station. They were reporting chaos and anarchy all around them. At one point, the eye watchers who were located in the eastern areas of the world were reporting their barriers were being attacked by a force not seen or known by them. Right then, Femi and Zuri suspected that Babi wasn't alone on the planet. There were more evil entities like her serving the Shadow Walkers who ruled the planet. And that was it, Sister Bev.
Okay. Now, with that, you could see where Dr. X had been talking about that it's going to be the females, that feminine energy, that's going to have to win this war that is going on. And also, you showed about the mind power. That's how come they use in psychology so tough on the people here. And the reason that they after the children, you talked about that. Now, I can see the feminine power is the one that really can do this, because who has real control over the children? It's the mother. And so that's how we are able to get our children back, because they are going after and attacking the children. And so you need that feminine power to be able to get the children back. And you also said what, I always say, you can't save everybody. It's not for everybody.
Right.
So, and so it was a lot of knowledge, metaphysical knowledge in that part right there too. And it's all going on right today.
That's the truth. You're right about that. And, she didn't do this alone. She had that strong man with her. So I don't care what nobody says. I'm not going to put the brothers down. I can't do that.
Because you got to have the brother. That's the whole, that makes the whole, the yin and the yang. But the feminine energy, she got her part and he got this, like she told him to go ahead on and she got this. And she handled that part right there. And it's another feminine energy. So who best can handle another feminine energy? They're not saying that the woman is the one that says she ahead of the man. That's not what it's saying. But it's just like when a woman is doing something, a lot of times when we were kids, the brother didn't fight the girl. He sent his sister or his cousin to whoop her butt,
Right.
And so that's what's going on now. That's why you need that feminine energy there, and you need that feminine energy to get the children back. So I'm not discounting the brothers. You got to have the brothers. That's the yin and the yang.
Right, because everybody's got a part to play, and it's an equal part. And, some of us sisters going to have to correct some of these other sisters who done fell off the track. We got to get them back on the right track. Get them back on the right track.
Exactly.
So this is what they're doing, they're using bad psychology on our people. They all, this thing with Snoop and Gayle King and all this other stuff that we're being distracted. They're in their last phases of trying to destroy our people within. They're in the mm-hmm. last phases. If they can mess us up like that and have us talking against each other, you know, going so far as putting it out there, you know, in the media to us, you know, then they're in the last ditch effort. Now that, you know, they're trying to effeminize our men, you know, doing all this, you know, with the children, you know, here this guy is to let his little 11, 12-year-old just come on out and, you know, he 12 years old, he don't know what he going to do. I mean, the decisions, a big decision like that, he's 12 years old. And they pushing our brothers to, you know, this is a form of, what is it, not having these babies, which I can't think of it. You know, they get our men to be with other men, then, you know, that's going to help decrease our population, too. They're working on that. They're coming all kind of ways. They're throwing everything. They're throwing the book at us. And our people yeah. can't see this. A lot of our people can't see it. I'm just, you know, I don't see why we can't wake up. What's the problem, people? You know, it's just, it's really frustrating.
But it really is. But you have the warriors,
yeah.
you know, that's what the warriors are there for. That's what they were put here on this planet for. That's their mission. And so everybody is not warriors. You know, everybody is not fighters. But the ones that are the fighters, that's what they have to do. That's what they're here for. So
exactly. And so we know what we got to do. Now we got to put it in motion. We can talk from here to kingdom come, but we got to start doing.
Well, that's
so we
got to
figure out a
now.
Way to start doing. Yeah.
It's going on now. This is still awake. It's a movement. I mean, even though the spirit talks to you in different ways, and I understand the politics and all that, but I look at the metaphysics and everything. And just like when the president has a movement going on, so that lets me know, okay, I see the metaphysical side of this. There is a movement. It's a people movement that's going on. So we are already in the movement. They're talking about it on the physical level, but there is a movement going on the metaphysical level.
Right, within, exactly.
Yeah. So so when I do the politics, I'm strictly looking at it from a metaphysical point of view. I see the physical part, but I get my messages through the metaphysical part of the physical part, if I could say it like that.
Well, you said it right.
Well, Sister Sadie, give them your information where they can get your books.
Okay, well, you can go to the website, that's chemistryfiles.com, T-S-T-R-Y, files.com, and on there you can listen to a couple of paragraphs that I put on there, recorded on there. You can listen to it, and this is on all five books. And you can order them from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, just ask them to order them for you, or Amazon. You have them right there in paperback and on Kindle. And also, I have an email back there in the back that you can email me and get a signed copy. If you want to do that, you just have to leave me your information. That's chemistryfiles@gmail.com, chemistryfiles@gmail.com, and give me your information and I'll do that for you. And then you can also go to a website called Gumroad. That's GUMROAD, gumroad.com. And you can stream The Bright Light, the first novel, from there. You can stream it, listen to it. And then also, I'm trying to get I would love to see all of this on the big screen. I would like for my people to see this on the big screen. That's what I'm working toward, to making a movie. Now, I know I can get it out there, and I feel like I don't have any obstacles to not do it. So that's what I'm working on now. And I would love the support of everyone that could help me out to get this done before 2020 is out. I want my people to see this, and you know, maybe I can get a whole lot of others to look at this and say, yeah, we need to do something. We need to just really just go for it and get out there with it. I mean, we've seen the Black Panther, and you know how that turned out. You know, they gave away the vibranium, and I hated that, you know. But in the chemistry, they don't give away anything. I mean, it's all or nothing. And I would like to make that out of a movie. And so also on Gumroad, I'm only doing 5 chemistry bright light scripts. I'm writing a script. So I'm only doing 5. So if you want one, you have to pre-order it now because I'm only going to make 5. That's it. So if you want that, you can go to gumroadwrite.com and check that out.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Sister Seth, and we shall come back next Thursday at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll be on Chapter 57 at that time. So thank you for your sharing your gift with us, and we're going to see it on the big screen. It's already in the making. And so until then, we honored to have you here with us on Truth to Power.
Well, I'm honored to be here, Sister Bev. You know that, and I appreciate it. And thank you.
And thank you. Okay, talk to you next week. Peace and love.
Peace.
All right.
Peace and love.
Everybody, everybody join me tomorrow. I'll be back with Tugmos at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Peace and love. Let's see. I'm trying to get my music up here. And Sister Seth wrote, she just turned me on.